My name is Verena Meraldi, and I am a chief scientist for HX Expeditions. It means I am in charge of our science and education program, basically composed of three main pillars. The first one being providing our ships as platform of opportunity to the scientific community and offering our logistical support. The second one is embedding science into the program that we offer on board to our guests. Our educational program has a very science-focused delivery. And thirdly, we encourage our guests to participate in a number of citizen science projects and use the time on board to help them get familiarized with the applications and the projects, and also explain the importance of not just contributing while on board, but also continuing in some instances with some of the projects when they are back at home.
No small role indeed. How did you first get involved with both science and with the expeditions?
Well, I studied biology in Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico City and then moved to Switzerland to do my master's and PhD, which have nothing to do with polar research or science or anything. I did my PhD in immunology, trying to find a vaccine for melanoma. And actually, it was by chance that I started working as a lecturer on board one of Hurtigruten's ship back in the days. The Nord-Norge in Antarctica. That was in 2007. It was just an opportunity. I had given up research to be at home with my kids. And this new job offered me the opportunity to be a full-time mom year-round, but still be a researcher or a scientist for a period of time. It was a very welcomed opportunity. And while working as lecturer, I started seeing all the potential. Because on board a ship, you really have a captive audience. They have, you have their full attention. They are not going anywhere. So you can really create something that will not only bring people to amazing places, but also help them fall in love with these places and understand them to the very core, and hopefully make the ambassadors out of these people, or foster stewardship for the protection of these areas. One thing led to the other. The company started sending more ships to the Antarctic. We had the opportunity to start new things, like our very first science center was created in 2016 on board the MS Midnight Sol. We just brought some microscopes, got some IKEA tables, and set the microscopes on top of those tables. And the experience for guests, it increased so much. The fact of being able to see what lives in a drop of water when they probably didn't even think of the ocean as a habitat, so important in the very, very beginning. So it was a nice trajectory until now, where we have collaborations with several well-known research institutions throughout the world, and where we have worked together with the University of Tasmania to produce courses for our guests, both to prepare them for what's to come, but also to help keep them engaged after the trip with a comprehensive course that we just launched in December. It is nice. It's really trying to do everything we can to make this very often once in a lifetime trip into more than just ticking the box.
What are the sort of scientific work that the guests can get involved with on your expeditions?
So it really depends what kind of guest scientist we have on board, if they can be involved in more research or less. But as a baseline, we offer on every trip what we call our science boat. That is where we invite our guests to join us on an inflatable boat. We go out with sampling equipment and with instruments. And we ask our guests to help us collect oceanographic data using an instrument called the CTD. It's a small instrument that you lower in the water column, and it will give you information on the salinity and the temperature based on the depth. It is our guests doing that, deploying those instruments. We also use a Secchi disc, which gives you an indication of the clarity of the water. And we collect plankton samples. And while doing that, we explain all the why the profile of the salinity will change as you go down in the water column, and so on and so on. And then we bring the samples on board and we look at them under the microscope directly. So guests are able to help identify the species that are in the water sample with the books and guides that we have on board. And whenever we have guest scientists, we ask them to contribute to the onboard program through lectures, workshops, if they are deploying instruments to prepare them or collect the samples that were collected or work on analysis in all public areas so that people can come and ask. People can really be involved as much as they want or as little as they want, but there is always science for everybody to experience.
I can only begin to imagine that you'll certainly have some guests who will get absolutely hooked on all of this
Oh,
and
yes.
want to do as much as possible.
Yes. And that is really the most satisfying feeling that you get to know somebody who is so overwhelmed and almost speechless at discovering this abundance of life in a drop of water, that for the remainder of the trip, they will come to you every day and, what are we going to discover today? What are we learning today? And it is just amazing.
Are you aware of having a number of repeat guests then? Do people get so excited that they want to keep
We
coming back?
do, we do. And more we hear that people are choosing us because of our science and education program, because of the amount of science-focused experiences and activities that we offer on board our ship. So yes, I am very proud of that.
What have been some of the learning points that have come out of repeated visits to the Antarctic about the nature of that environment, its future evolution?
We know climate change is really a serious problem, and it is affecting the polar areas to a higher degree. And it can be controversial. Why would you go to the Antarctic or the Arctic when it implies putting carbon in the atmosphere? It's a very carbon industry, the one we work in. But to really protect something, people need to understand it, need to have experienced it, need to be passionate about. It is one thing to read about a problem and another very different to experience it, to really see it firsthand. And you can see that in Antarctica. You can see how the penguin populations have shifted due to climate change. There are many things that can help people understand the gravity of the situation. And again, that speaks in favor of becoming an ambassador or shifting your mindset to have a more sustainable life once you return home.
It's an interesting problem, isn't it, that we human beings only sort of really get passionate about problems when we've actually seen them firsthand. It's almost as if reading about it, as you say, watching it on our televisions or our screens is one thing, but when we've actually been somewhere and witnessed firsthand the impact, positive and negative, that we can have on our world, that it really becomes, well, real.
Yeah, and that also speaks in favor of having researchers on board because we do have expedition staff, and many of them hold PhDs and are very knowledgeable, but they are part of the expedition team. So, if you, on the other hand, bring an expert from the top-ranked university in the world and people can see him in action and get responses from him directly or an explanation why that research is so fundamental on that particular circumstances can only happen thanks to these guys traveling to Antarctica and paying for the cabin they are using. It really makes a difference.
Now, just one thing, with International Women's Day coming up, one of the reasons that we're talking, not the only one, but you talk about him, the scientist that's come along. What changes, if any, have you seen in the engagement, the involvement of women now into these areas of science?
Oh, a lot. Many of our own staff are female. Also, many of the lead researchers of the projects that we are supporting are also female. And many of them also come personally to collect the data with us. So it has become a much more balanced working space, I would say, for women, polar environments.
And for yourself, what do you see next? I mean, I'm not sure I would give up the role of chief scientist with HX Expedition very lightly, but
No.
next year is your 20th anniversary on the expeditions.
For the future, I really want to try to expand the program, but maybe not necessarily in quantity, but rather in quality. Focusing on these amazing courses that we developed with the University of Tasmania for Antarctica. We are in discussions with them now to expand that program also to the Arctic. So we will be focusing on the development of those courses. But obviously, the Arctic is very different to Antarctica. We do have many countries and local communities that we need to work with in order to create a course that also considers and integrates all those communities and their knowledge. So it will be a hard, long maybe, but super interesting work that comes ahead.
Well, as a former diplomat myself, you're going to be blending diplomacy with science. It seems two of the most difficult areas of human activity. Now, I've got to ask you on a very personal level, what are the aspects of travelling down to Antarctica that get you personally very sort of excited, that you're delighted to see again or revisit?
It's such an incredible place, Antarctica. Some people say that if you can describe it, you have never been there. Because it is really a place where you can experience the whole four seasons within an hour window, not even a day, but an hour. It is a place where you find yourself in this incredible, vast wilderness with no signs of human life, where you experience a very noisy silence. The nature sounds are overwhelming, and there is no human-made noise pollution there. It's all of those things, seeing how it also changes when at the beginning of the season, it's all white and pristine. And at the end of the season, you get this out of this world, light changing landscapes. It's just breathtaking. It's a really, really beautiful, wild place.
All of us believe that we can imagine what it's like, and of course we've seen pictures, but from what you're saying, I suspect that you can't truly sort of know it unless you've experienced it.
No, exactly. I can give you one example of an experience that is forever in my heart. Getting to the Weddell Sea is not very easy. Weather can be very rough there, and there's a lot of ice. On one occasion, we got there. Fantastic day, no wind. It means the ocean was like a mirror. We were on one of our hybrid ships, so super silent sailing. And around us was a group of between 50 to 100 humpback whales around the ship. And you could hear the whales coming up for breath here and there and everywhere, before you could even actually see the whale. So that was such a magical moment.
And just one of those things that you could go there 100 times and not experience that, I imagine.
Yes, every time you get a unique experience.
And you might not experience that, but you will experience something that will take your breath away in another way. Dr. Moraldi, thank you so very much indeed. Are there any other messages that you really want to get across?
Well, since, like you said, International Women's Day is approaching, maybe just encourage every woman to follow their dreams. And
I have to say,
never let anybody tell them they cannot do it.
All good messages. I have to say, I talked to my partner and I said, I'm really not quite sure how to reintroduce the idea of International Women's Day to someone who is so accomplished in her own right. It seems a bit banal to point out that she's a woman as opposed to a man, as if that should make any difference whatsoever. So I'm glad you did address that. Yes, let's hope that we see many, many more people going out and doing valuable work in the Antarctic and indeed in the Arctic, irrespective of whether they're male or female.
Thank you, Simon.